Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church this Wednesday evening. If you're watching live, or whatever day it is and time of day it is, if you're listening afterwards on the podcast or catching up on the video. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the Vicar at All Saints, and it's lovely to host you this evening. And I've got a folk with afterwards. Me this evening. Say good evening, Emily.
Hi. Hi to everyone at home.
Say good evening, Sarah.
Evening, Sarah. Hello, everyone at home and on the podcast and however you're joining us.
Yeah, it's complicated, isn't it? I think Emily's looking on the comment stream, so if you're with us live on Facebook, you're very welcome to put things on the comment stream. Say hello, put prayer requests, add comments, anything like that. That would be lovely. If you're catching up later, and you want to contribute something, want us to see it or pray for you, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and that would be great. Particularly good to have you with us if you're with us for the first time. Now, Sarah's been on national radio this week talking about Shift Church, so if you've come along because you heard Sarah on UCB, particularly good to have you with us. Do say hello to the stream. Was that fun, Sarah? Was it doing that interview?
It was fun. It was a little bit nerve-wracking because it was video as well, obviously. That's just for future use. But yeah, it was fun. I love Ruth. So it was great to see her face to face. Yeah.
You listen to her a lot?
Every day. I have the UCB2 on all day, every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Ruth is just about my favourite, really. And there's some brilliant, really inspirational stories on there as well. And I think when you listen to somebody else's story, it just inspires you, doesn't it?
Yeah, very good. So thank you for going on and talking about that. So yes, nice. If you're on because you heard Sarah on UCB, you're particularly welcome to say hello. Have we got anybody saying hello yet, Emily?
Yeah, there's a few people in the comment stream, so do comment along and I'll read those out. But there's a few regulars there. I can see Charlotte and Liz and Ali and Sandra. Hello to you all. Hopefully we'll get a few more saying hi and I'll give you a name drop if that's what you like.
Very good. If you did happen to listen to Sarah's interview on UCB, she mentioned something I want to share a bit more widely as well. You may recall a little while ago we prayed, someone put a prayer request on the comment stream asking to pray for their son, I think it was, to get a job. Mm-hmm. They're out of work, and we got an email this week to say they had got a job and it was really good and it was exactly what they needed, and a really good firm. So a little bit of encouragement there, answer prayer, which is lovely to hear. So,
amen to that. That's great news. Right.
The interview was the day after shift and we prayed and got the job and he starts Monday. Excellent.
So, excellent. So yeah, can continue to pray for that. Him, that he settles in well and it fulfills all the kind of promise that it seems to have for him. So that's
amen.
Great. Yeah. So how's the beginning of Lent treating you two?
It's okay. I think, well, I know we've spoken about it, but I've not given anything up. I've taken stuff up. Yeah. So I'm just busying myself with that, really. So that's more sermons, more podcasts, talking through books of the Bible and all of that sort of thing. I'm upping the ante with my immersion in the Bible.
Very good.
I was going to say, I started well. Good intentions. But the one thing we are doing, our fairy godmother, I always call her our fairy godmother, it's Hannah's fairy godmother, my daughter really, she's provided us with a Lenten prayer garden. So we're doing that in the morning. So every day there's a little thing that we have to pray for and I encourage my daughter to do that. And then we get to stick a sticker on the jar. So so that's what we're doing. It's small, but hopefully mighty. So,
I always like a good prayers. Sticker on a chart thing.
Yeah. It's the prayers that are important. I mean, you know, six-year-olds are often the best prayers because they get straight to the heart of things.
Topic.
They're like, yes, this is what we want you to pray for, Mummy. I'm like, okay, let's go for that then.
Dear God, make the sunshine. Something like that.
Oh, no, we had some big ones. In fact, we even prayed for you as well this week, Tim, because it was pray for your vicar. So
there's
a few in there for you.
There you go. Wow, you've got some name checks this week, haven't you, Tim?
Yeah, Hannah praying for me and a name check on UCB2. My work is done. That's okay. I'll ride off into the sunset now. Well, we ought to this evening. We're going to be thinking about a few things. It is really lovely to have you with us. We're going to make a kind of, I think that's probably enough chat, introductory chat. We're going to have a bit of a psalm, a reading from a psalm, just to give us space to breathe, just be aware of being in the presence of God, whether we're here on a Wednesday evening, you're out walking the dog, whatever you like to do when you're listening to the podcast. I was talking to somebody this week who says she listens to it. She gets up early every morning to do an hour on the exercise bike every morning. And she listens to it on a Thursday morning. So you know who you are. Thursday morning on the exercise bike. Good to have you with us. You probably don't want to catch breath because you're exercising. Anyway.
I wonder if she cycles faster or slower.
I don't know. I'm going to stop whittering. We're going to calm. I got taken off down a rabbit hole. We're going to have this psalm being read, bit of music and a bit of video for those of you who are watching. And just sit back and enjoy this. I'd like to wash over you and minister to you. Here we go.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
And that was Psalm 8, if you want to read it yourself. And it was produced by Manor Media. If you go on YouTube, if you like that, they've got loads of psalms like that. Just a little bit of reflection in your day. Manor Media on YouTube. Go and check them out. So, we should read the Bible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Who's reading
from? I'm first up.
You're first up, are you?
I'm first up. I'm on Jonah. So if everyone wants to get the Bibles, phones, however you look at the words,
I confess I haven't actually read yours today, so I'm gonna look
for absolutely fine. Jonah 3 we're on, and just while you find that, just a bit of background, it's a story of God's love and concern for all people, and a very stubborn, reluctant Jonah, who represents Israel's jealousy of his favoured relationship with God and its unwillingness to share the Lord's compassion with the nations. So we join the story after God's told Jonah in chapter 1 to go to Nineveh and preach, as the people there have become wicked. But Jonah's got other things on his mind, didn't really fancy that, so he runs off to Joppa and jumps on a boat to Tarshish. As we all know, that didn't turn out very well, because he ends up getting swallowed by a great fish or a whale, whichever you want to refer to it as. After seeing the error of his ways, though, and repents, God tells the fish to vomit Jonah out onto dry land, and that's where we pick the story up. So Jonah 3, and it's the New International Version, Jonah goes to Nineveh. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he used in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, and Emmy, what have you got for us?
I've got Luke chapter 2. So this is in the New Testament, and it's in one of the Gospels called Luke. And we're going to read Luke chapter 2 from verse 36 to 40, and it's entitled The Prophecy of Anne. When I read it, I thought, I must have read this before. I'm sure I've read the whole of Luke before. But I got really excited. I always get excited when there are women in the Bible, because there never feels like there's enough of them. But maybe that's just me. So it's Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 40. Anna prophet was also there in the temple. She was a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they'd been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshipping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. When Jesus's parents had filled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned home to Nazareth in Galilee. There their child grew up healthy and strong. He was filled with wisdom, and God's favour was on him.
Thank you.
I'm sorry if my chair's a bit squeaky today. I've just realised as I leaned back, but hopefully you can't hear it.
Right, I hadn't noticed. Not until you said something, and now everybody's listening out carefully. Long podcast squeaks in the background for your chair.
Hopefully they won't pick it up on the podcast, because that's going to be really annoying for the lady on her exercise bike. But
anyway, so we had Ash Wednesday last week. So it's, as I was saying at the beginning, we're into Lent. And through this period leading up to Easter, we're just going to be thinking about each week different spiritual disciplines we can have that can help us get into God. And this evening we're thinking about fasting. And you might be thinking, well, hold on a minute, we've given up enough over the last 12 months. Why are we thinking about giving up even more? And I think that's a fair point. So I thought we might come at it from a slightly different direction. And we're going to start with Nineveh. Sarah's given us the background to that story. And in response to Jonah's warning, all the people, the king down, proclaim a fast and they're mourning in sackcloth and ashes. They stop their normal business. They rearrange their lives to tackle a threat to their society, something that was going to cause them damage. And they did this to call on God and to ask God to turn the disaster away. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, bits of that sound a bit familiar to me. A warning about a coming disaster and a corporate response of self-denial. Oh, that's interesting. So just tell me, how might it help our thinking if we looked on this lockdown that we've been kind of experiencing as a national fast? It seems to me there's a sense in which many of us, most of the country, have been fasting for the last 12 months. It's not been a fast from food. And some people might say, well, it's not a proper fast because people haven't chosen it. It's been inspired, kind of, there's been laws. But actually, if there'd been mass non-compliance and we just all said we're not doing that, what would they have done? Send in the army. So to a certain extent, it's been really reliant on people actually choosing to obey the rules.
Yeah, it doesn't work unless we all follow them. So
no. It seems to me that most people have fasted from doing the things they want to do, seeing the people they want to see, having the birthday parties they wanted to have, because we are actually willing to sacrifice our own interests for the sake of the wider society. And of course, there's some self-interest in that because we don't want to get poorly ourselves. But actually, even in Nineveh, it wasn't just a corporate, we don't want the disaster to come on the city. There was a bit, well, I don't want the disaster to come on the city I'm living in, and therefore... Mm-hmm. There is a big difference though, and that I think is to do with prayer and prayerfulness. So in Nineveh it definitely was, we're going to grieve and fast so that we can pray, we can ask God to do something about it. And there hasn't really been, I don't think, a sense of the government calling everybody to a national prayer. The church has done it a bit. And we have been praying, but it hasn't come from the top down as it did in Nineveh. It's not like...
No.
I mean, to be fair to the Queen, she is a prayerful woman and she has been calling people to prayer, but she's a bit not quite as kingy as the King of Nineveh, I don't think.
Mm. I think that's partly our British culture, though, because we don't tend to mix politics and church too much. It's very frowned upon in England.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But having said that, it doesn't stop us choosing to pray as we bring this fast to God in prayer, does it? Boris isn't saying we should do it doesn't mean we shouldn't. I wonder if actually that helps us see it in a slightly different way, because we might never have thought about fasting very much. Might not have heard of it. We might have assumed that it's a spiritual discipline for ultra holy people that hasn't really got very much to do with us, or something they used to do in the olden days, but we don't need to do very much. And there might actually be very good reasons, for health reasons, why fasting from food isn't a very good idea for some people. But actually, it seems to me that we may not have been fasting from food, but most of us have been fasting for the last 12 months.
From contact.
Yeah, absolutely. We've given people up something that's important to us for the sake of other people. So if what we're doing is fasting... if we look back at what the Bible says about fasting and what the Christian tradition, Christian writers over the years say about fasting, how might that help us understand what we're doing, and how might it help us actually turn it into prayer? So I've got a few ideas. Can't do everything because fasting's been a part of the Christian tradition for 2,000 years, so people have written an awful lot about it. Mm. And there's loads of examples of it in the Bible. But we can look at the two examples we had this evening. So in Jonah, why were they fasting?
Because they'd been naughty, they'd been evil.
Yeah. Okay, so why were they fasting?
In order to think about it and pray and repent. And
I think part of it was to separate as well and to give up some of those things, if that makes sense, some of those... Yep. Areas in their life that perhaps weren't very healthy, you know.
And what does the kind of significance of the sackcloth and ashes alongside kind of suggest?
I guess that's a physical representation that they were taking part, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, actual visible, so the world could see, yeah, this is what we're doing, if that makes sense. We're taking part in fasting.
I'm taking away the finer things as well. The things that are classed as being important, i.e. the king's glorious robe, etc. Go on.
It's also a great leveller as well. Do you know what I mean? Because the high and the mighty. I remember when you read that, Sarah, that all levels of society had to take part. And I thought, oh, that's a bit like our pandemic. We're all having to do this, if that makes sense. So I guess the burlap was a really good, was probably a really good distinction what people wore, where you were in society.
Yeah.
So that really was a big leveller.
Who said the Bible's not relevant anymore, eh?
I always love about Jonah is the way the animals are included at every stage.
Yeah.
I want to know whose job it was to put sackcloth on the cats.
if it was my cat, it would never wear any.
Sorry, we're getting distracted again. Another rabbit hole, told you. Anyway, last week, just bringing it back to last week on Ash Wednesday, we were thinking about this idea of lament, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the, that's kind of the ashes in the sackcloth as well. And that's part of it, of actually this idea of crying out to God. And sometimes that's over sin, stuff we've done wrong. Sometimes that's over the circumstances. And so I just wonder, what does it mean? We might bring the pain of our fast to God as an expression of our grief over the things we've lost, the pain, the injustice we see in the world, things that are thrown into relief by the pandemic. So that kind of grief we're feeling at not being able to see the people we want to do can kind of make our heart compassionate and to pray for others in that situation. See what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Turn us to prayer. It might actually be, back on this things are being naughty, that our fast is bringing to light things that we're not very proud of. And the Holy Spirit might be using it to convict us. So for instance, when I fast from food and I get hungry, I tend to get grumpy and impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not because fasting makes me grumpy and impatient. It's because I am grumpy and impatient. And you don't have to scrape me very hard till you get to the grumpiness and impatience. It reveals it. And the answer to that is not to not fast. It's to ask God to make me more gentle and more patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might be that through lockdown, fasting from contact with other people and the kind of deprivations we've gone through has kind of scraped you and revealed bits of our character that we thought we'd dealt with or not really proud of. And it's not that the lockdown's caused those, it's just revealed them.
Absolutely. Because we've had time that we've not had before, really, probably.
Yeah. And also because we haven't had the cushioning on our sharp corners, perhaps. We've been stripped away of some of that and it's just shown us something about ourselves. And we can ask God to deal with that. Another example is that it can bring to light where we turn to for comfort when things are difficult. So the weekend for me, that was half a bottle of wine and a box set and some comfort eating. Now, there's nothing particularly wrong with any of those things, not intrinsically. But if they get out of control and they become something that becomes a compulsion or addiction or a something like that, that can be less helpful.
Mm.
And it's just being aware of those things. And sometimes being deprived of something, fasting, just brings them to the surface.
Mm.
And actually we can say, okay, I see that. Okay, I'm just going to be really aware of that, because actually God is our only real refuge, the only guaranteed everlasting arms, all those kind of biblical images of anchor and foundation. So sometimes fasting can show us where we're not depending on God and where we need to be really choose to do so.
Yeah.
We've talked a bit about prayer. People through the centuries often find that fasting helps their prayer life. And it seems to me that makes sense, because if we stop looking in the places for temporary help, and we start looking to God, it's not surprising that we hear God more and we can pray more in line with God's will. And that makes our prayers more effective. We've talked on here about things that people have used in lockdown to help them in their prayer. Emmy was talking earlier about her prayer garden. Have we gone live when we did? We were talking about that. We had, weren't we?
Yeah. A sticker chart, great. To be honest, it's nice for adults as well. Can't beat a sticker chart.
I've been using the Lectio 365 app. All kinds of things. And maybe if we're having to fast from seeing people, next time we feel sad about not being able to see a particular person, praying for that person. Even though you can't give them a hug, God would give them a hug.
Yeah.
And that seems to me, we talked about Anna, and Emily was very excited about reading about Anna. If I had been a girl, I would have been an Anna.
There you go.
Fun fact for you, bit of trivia there. That's what my mum says anyway. Anyway, we don't know exactly how long ago she'd been married, but the idea is she'd probably been married as a young woman for just 7 years and then kind of decades in the temple, worshipping and praying and fasting and just developing this really close relationship with God. So the extent that when she saw Jesus coming, being brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph at age 8 days old, I mean, how do you look at an 8 day old baby and know that here is God's chosen one?
Yeah, that's him. That's the guy we've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
The only way you do that is if you're so close to God that you just hear the Holy Spirit say, right, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, every firstborn male Jew was brought to the temple for this dedication ceremony. How many 8 day old babies had Anna seen in her decades in the temple? Thousands.
Yeah.
And somebody says this one, how does that happen? A lifetime of prayer and worship and fasting and just being close to God.
Yeah.
And that's actually the primary thing in the Christian tradition through the scriptures of the purpose of fasting is worshipping God, putting God at the centre, getting rid of all the distractions and putting God at the centre, the ultimate source of our strength. All the heroes of the Bible, as you read through, Moses and David and Elijah and Esther and Daniel and Paul and Jesus, had significant times where they fasted and prayed and worshipped. And it sustained them in their ministries. It sustained them for what God was calling them to do. And actually, we're thinking about worship next week. So I'm not going to go too far more into that one.
That's something we do really well at All Saints.
Just to draw that together, just that perspective of perhaps just to change the perspective on our lockdown, of it being a fast, that in Lent we're not having to fast from more stuff or give more stuff up, but maybe just taking another look and a new look at the fasting we're already doing and choosing to see it like that and thinking about, okay, how can we bring this to God in prayer? How can we allow this to deepen our spiritual lives?
I'm finding this really helpful, Tim, because I am obsessed with food. So
I've
actually found this Lent really difficult to think of, right, well, what am I going to give up? Because like you said, those coping mechanisms, the packet of biscuits, the computer games, you know, have become really important to me.
Yeah.
But I found it really useful to think about some of the things that I have given up or I am choosing to give up. And there's always temptation sometimes as well. There's that temptation of the, I'll just nip into that shop and get that non-essential item because I wanted to hang a picture up or something like that. And there is, I found myself really tempted in the last 2 or 3 months because it feels like a really long time. And I'm ready to go out into the world, but the world isn't ready for me yet. So I found what you said really helpful because I still feel like I'm fasting, I'm having to give up, I'm having to say no to some of the stuff that I'd really love to do. If I can connect that with God or draw on his strength, I think is what encourages me, draw on his strength to be able to get through the next month till the 29th of March, is it, when I can finally maybe see one person in my garden, you know. it's that thing, if I can draw on his strength and do that in a prayerful way, I'm finding that really encouraging, actually. That I can do this.
I think it's just, we always tend to think of fasting as being food related, don't we? But I think it's the essence to me is just either giving something up, because then you're present in that space that's left, or taking something on. I think more and more people do that, don't they now? Well, you know, I think almost sometimes if it's like, well, I'll give up chocolate, and it's almost like a non-brainer, really. There's not a lot of thought goes into it. I'll give chocolate up, or I'll give alcohol up. Well, I don't really drink anyway. And, you know, so it's, I think we, like you said, we've all given this massive period of fasting over the last 12 months. And I think that end result has been, you know, there's a massive gap, and it's helped us to see exactly what is important. And that is not whether we can have a drink or have some chocolate, whatever. It's whether we can see the people we love, whether we could touch the people we love, whether we can sing together in church, whether we can, you know, all those things. I think we all now know what's really important in life.
Yeah. Have we got any questions or comments coming in on the comment stream? If you're out there listening to this on the podcast, or follow up and you want to send anything in, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org.
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments. People talking about in lockdown, they've really been able to draw closer to God, and it's been a really useful thing for them. Perhaps they were fasting and they didn't even realise that they were doing that and drawing closer to God. And people just saying how helpful they found that, if they've been, you know, shielding, that's been really hard, and God's given them the strength to just weather that, really, and calling on his name to help with that.
Good feedback there. Anything else from those Bible passages which kind of jumped out at you, or caught your attention?
I think as well, there's a couple of comments on the stream about that idea about giving something up, that Lent is about giving something up, but actually I think, or fasting is about giving something up, but I think it's just what Sarah said earlier about even taking something up. It's about drawing closer to God. That's the whole aim of it. Yeah. Fasting is a tool that helps you with that. That's great. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's just giving that discipline of, actually, I'm going to watch Shift Church every week, if that makes sense. Or giving yourself a discipline in a different way so you can draw closer to God. You know, I'm gonna actually read my Bible, or I'm going to use this app. And, you know, however you can draw to it. Or like me and Hannah, we're trying to do this prayer garden every morning. You know, it's drawing us closer to him. That's the real key, if that makes sense.
And it is, because the thing is, with God, God doesn't shout, not like the enemy does. God doesn't shout. He whispers very quietly, and that reason is purely so that you get closer to him. It's quite by choice, you know. Come closer, and then you'll hear me. But I think back to the Bible passages, probably. From verse 10, well, the last verse, really. And it says, when God saw, the Jonah passage, the Old Testament passage, says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he'd threatened. And I suppose, you know, a message for me that comes through from that is that God was angry, right? God was really angry. For him to say, you know, you change your ways, else you're gone. Enforce that. That's it. Okay. But it just goes to show that never give up hope, and you can change things, and it can end well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, just work at it, and yeah, it can all turn around, and God is faithful in his word as well, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You sort yourself out, and I'll look after you, but you got to sort yourself out.
Well, but the great thing is also, you don't actually have to sort yourself out. You just have to let Jesus sort you out.
Well, yeah.
I'm glad you put it like that. I was trying to think about how do you put that? But the great thing about God is he meets us in that brokenness, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Actually, and in some ways, lockdown and fasting exposes those broken parts. Like you were talking about, it can expose you, you know, your personality, perhaps the not so positive characteristics. It exposes that. And actually, God's okay with those. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he goes, okay. You might be a bit grumpy, Tim, but I still love you. You know, so I think that's the great thing. He meets us in our brokenness. Do you know what I mean?
And that's what that withdrawing was, wasn't it? To have that period of reflection to understand what was wrong, what needed sorting. And yeah, absolutely. And then saying, well, this is me, this is it. I know I'm a mess or whatever. And yeah, absolutely. And that's the great thing about God, isn't it? It doesn't matter what we've done, as long as we can realise that and offer it to him, then to do the business on our behalf, yeah.
Just building on this idea of the kind of association with fasting, with actually doing things as well. When I was preparing for this bit earlier, I was reading Isaiah 58. And this is God's prophet Isaiah warning the people of God when they'd kind of gone away from him. And he talks about true fasting. And he complains, he kind of says to them, on your day of fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarrelling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. So it's like the ultimate, your fasting's made you very grumpy and even more grumpy than me. And then he goes on to say this, this is God speaking. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. So even scriptural kind of, yes, actually, the fasting that God wants is you doing something good for people. Yeah, bringing freedom. And the practical kind of take food to the food bank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or cook a meal for somebody, you know, that's struggling.
Yeah.
God keeps putting these people in my path and asking me to do this in the last couple of weeks. So.
There you go.
It's using your talents, Emmy.
Absolutely.
Well, I haven't given anyone food poisoning that I know of yet. So I'll take that as a positive. I mean, it would be a bit embarrassing given that that's my job as a food inspector. So, yeah.
Okay, is there any last comments or questions from the stream, Emmy?
Just a general conversation about giving things up, and not necessarily how it has to be about giving things up, like just what we've been reiterating, that it's really about you can take things up as well, or you can choose healthier choices, if that makes sense, and in that drawing closer to God. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff. If you've got any suggestions at home, do email them in. We'll put them into next week's. So that would be great. Or any questions about what we've been talking about. Yes, so that's good. I think we might have a bit of music just to reflect on what we've been talking about. And then that can lead us into prayer. How does that sound like a plan?
Super.
That's a good one to make.
That sounds like a plan. I've just got to do. That's not what I wanted to see.
If anyone has any prayer requests and they want to start dropping them in the comments as well during the song, they are very welcome. And then I'll bring those into the prayers for people.
That sounds like a really good idea. There we go. I'm just doing the tech stuff in the background. Now, I think we're ready to go. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, I am. Oh, I wish I knew what I was doing.
Don't worry about it.
Here we go.
This week's prayers are based on fasting, as it's our theme for the week. And we'll just follow the pattern of four small sections that spell out FAST. F stands for freedom. Lord, in a brief moment of silence, we pray for freedom from worries, from problems, from fears, so that we can spend this time focusing purely on you. We take this time to consider this period of Lent and the act of fasting as a means of self-examination and ultimately renewal of the soul, all in anticipation of greater dedication to serving others and you, Lord, in the coming year. But we also consider this last 12 months of lockdown, Lord, and the sacrifices made by us all in this time. And we thank you, Lord, that you see this and stand alongside us all, always. Amen. And then the A. I'm sorry, Emmy. Go on.
I was just going to say, Lord, I just thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. And in this lockdown, may we be reminded of those freedoms and that through you, Lord, we are made. We are as free as a bird. That is the ultimate freedom, really, to be free from our sins.
Amen. And the A is to atone. Merciful Father, we greatly regret the times this week when we've not acted in a way that we know you would expect of us. Lord, as we do our very best to live out our lives in a way that glorifies your name, we offer you our promise that we will always strive to live in a way that is pleasing to you. And we give thanks that you always forgive us when we sometimes fail to do this.
Amen. And as we bring, having brought those things that we want to say sorry to God, to Him for, hear the promise of forgiveness. May Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sin, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, the S is for seek. Lord, we seek your presence in all that we do. As we seek you, so too we ask that you show us the paths to follow, that you show us how, where, and when we should journey towards our next mission, so that we may be the loyal disciples that you long for us to be. Amen.
Lord, I just lift everybody up who's listening to the podcast and watching the stream today, and just thank you for them joining us today. And as they walk away from this, whatever has stirred in their hearts, that you would be working on that this week, and that they would be seeking your face within those feelings, Lord.
And Father, I pray that we would see you. We'd see you in the faces of those around us. We'd see you in the situations we face, that you wouldn't be hidden from us. Mm. We wouldn't have to seek you, because you'd be so obvious at work and present in our houses, in the places we go out to, in our workplaces, that we would see you. You'd be obvious to us. Amen.
Amen. And finally, T for trust. We trust our lives to you, Lord. In this time of lockdown, when so much has been sacrificed by so many, it can only be expected that we feel unsure of almost everything in our lives. But we know we can trust you, Lord. We pray that you'll help us to grow in that trust, knowing that you have the best for us. May we seek you in good times and difficult, and learn to trust you more every day. May you increase and we decrease as we learn to become more like you. In Jesus' holy and powerful name, amen.
Amen. My Father, we pray for those we know who are facing situations where it's particularly difficult to trust you for themselves or for their loved ones facing sickness or real difficulties. We pray for a double portion of your Holy Spirit in them, helping them to trust and to lean into your arms, into your comfort. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, before we finish our prayers tonight, I just want to lift up to you some of the things that have been discussed on the comment stream. I particularly want to just lift up to you, Charlotte, and everything that she's facing at the moment. So I just lift her up to you, Lord, that she would be able to place her trust in you, Lord, as we move forward, and that she would just be looking to you, Lord, for this period.
Yeah.
And I just pray that you will give her the confidence and the grace that she needs to continue on her journey of health and well-being. Mm-hmm. I also lift up to you, Lord, just everybody who's currently shielding at the moment. And, you know, the idea of coming out of lockdown actually might be quite a scary one. There's obviously some relief, but some fears in that as well, Lord. And I just pray that you will be with those people, Lord, that they will be able to place their trust in you, that it will be that you will give them a sense of the right time for them, and they're ready when they're ready to take those steps into the community again, Lord. And I just lift them up to you, Lord. And those freedoms and some of the hurt that they might be feeling, that, you know, that they've sort of had to give up so much in the last year, Lord, I just pray that you will be filling them and renewing them so that they can step out, you know, with you, Lord, and just really enjoy this next season, Lord.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sarah, for leading us in our prayers.
All right. I feel like I go to sleep now. Yes.
It's 9 o'clock. That's nearly bedtime for me.
Oh, well, there you go.
The Holy Spirit's obviously giving you some rest. Maybe that's what you
need. Absolutely.
Good. So we are starting to come towards the end. Now, normally we have a take it home little thing, and normally have that in the chatty bit where we're thinking about how to apply things. I've got a take it home thing tonight. It's a video. It's not at all related to the theme, which is why I put it at the end. But looking ahead a little bit to the other side of Easter, around Telford, we're going to be doing, there's a thing called Do You Know Him, which is going to be 10 weeks across the whole of the Telford area. Churches really looking at Jesus and asking, do you know him? Of ourselves, but also having the opportunity to ask people we know, friends and work colleagues and family, kind of, you might have heard this name Jesus. Do you actually know who this person we're talking about is? There's a guy called Chris Duffett, who's a great guy, who's going to be doing a bit of training for us to dial in to help us think about how we might have those conversations with people. Now, in normal times, of course, you'd be coming to Telford to do this in person. You can't. He's going to be doing it on Zoom, which actually means that those of you who are watching or listening who don't happen to live in Telford, if you want to come along as well, you can do. So there you are, a bit of a bonus for you. Anyway, I'm going to share a little bit of video. Chris is going to introduce himself, tell you a little bit more about it. And yeah, so over to Chris. Here we go.
Hi, Telford Churches Together. My name is Chris Christoffit from the Light College and Collective. And I'll be joining you as you look at the question, do you know him? And as you encourage people to encounter the Lord Jesus. And I'll be leading some training on Saturday the 13th of March, 10 until 11:30, where we'll look at how to creatively bring hope to others and bring our faith to others in the storms. And I'll also be with you on May the 15th, where I'll offer some training, hopefully in person and not online, where we'll look at how can we let others in on what we've got as followers of Jesus. So we're going to look at how to creatively share faith in the storms. It's not being opportunist, it's taking the opportunity to gently offer the hope that we have as followers of Jesus. So I look forward to joining you and seeing you online on March the 13th.
He's a nice smiley chap, isn't he?
He's a very nice smiley chap. He's amazing. He's an amazing chap. His basic technique, as far as I can tell, is put a sofa in the town centre and put a sign next to it saying, come and chat to me. And people go and chat to him, and he just talks to them and listens to them and tells them a bit about Jesus. And
wow.
That's right. He's very, very natural, very, very winsome, lovely guy.
Yeah.
So when is it?
It's the 10th
of March.
Close.
Oh. 13th of March.
At what time, Emily?
I'll just hide behind my Bible.
No. You have the right number.
Oh, is it 10 o'clock then?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I retained some information. Well done.
You even retained the correct number, just not quite in the same right place.
Good.
Yes. March the 13th at 10 o'clock on Zoom. If you'd like the Zoom details, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and I'll let you have those. You can dial in and spend an hour and a half in Chris's company thinking about how we, as he says, just share the reason for the hope we have.
That's a Saturday, isn't it?
That is a Saturday. It's a Saturday morning.
Cool.
And I think it might be just before the lockdown on outdoor sports opens up. So I won't even have the excuse that I'll be down the boat club. if rowing had opened up again and it was a choice between my first time out on the river in 6 months and Christoffit.
I've done a few like Zoom meetings in my car, you know, it's totally possible on your phone nowadays.
Not
in a car park.
No. The reception's rubbish down on the 7.
That's true. If particularly if you're in Ironbridge, it's rubbish.
You could always go after 11:30 once it's finished.
Could do. Anyway, it's not going to be an issue. So yeah, March the 13th. It's been really great to have folk with us, especially if you've joined us for the first time.
Yeah.
Say hi in the comments. Drop us an email. Next week we are thinking about worship, as I said. So if you've got any comments or questions about worship in advance, email them over and we can have a look at them. But apart from that, I think we're pretty much done. So it's been really good to have you. Say goodnight, Sarah.
Good night, Sarah. Waving to everybody on the podcast.
Say goodnight, Emily.
Good night from me. Have sweet dreams, everybody.
Thank you very much. And I am going to say goodnight.